Hi, you're tuning in to Awani Review with me, Sin Tieng. Today is a very special episode. On the show today is a social entrepreneur who's dedicated her life to promoting literacy in remote parts of Indonesia. Welcome to the show, Nila Tanzil, founder of Taman Bacaan Pelangi, or you call it Rainbow Reading Gardens.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here. So tell us about yourself. I understand that you left a career in the corporate world and jumped right in into helping children.
Yeah.
Helping them to learn more, to read more.
Yes. Yeah.
How did that happen?
So back in 2009, I took a job as a communications consultant and I was based in Labuan Bajo. At that time, like, every weekend I would spend time for diving because I love diving so much. But after 4 months of diving, seeing manta rays and sharks, I got spoiled. So I decided to travel to remote villages in the area. And there when I realized that, oh my God, these people had nothing, no electricity, no running water, and let alone kids have no access to books at all. So like, yeah, I went to schools, they didn't have any libraries, no bookstores, so I thought, oh my God, maybe I could do something. Seeing these kids had no access to books, it was really heartbreaking for me because it kind of like reminded me of my childhood when every time after school I would read books. So seeing these kids have no access to books at all, I was like, oh my God, they've never experienced the joy of reading, and that's horrible. So I thought maybe I could do something. So I decided to set up a nonprofit organization, focuses on providing access to books through building libraries in remote islands so these kids can read.
So you are now based in Jakarta, I understand,
yes.
But you spend a lot of time in this remote area.
Yes.
So tell us about that. And how many kids have you reached out to? How many libraries have you set up around Indonesia?
So I founded the Rainbow Reading Gardens or Taman Bacaan Pelangi in 2009. And up to date, we have 116 libraries across 18 islands from Lombok all the way to Papua. We have impacted more than 30,000 kids. And we also have trained more than 1,000 local teachers and provided access to more than 200,000 children's storybooks.
So when you first started, right, with one library, had you imagined that this is something that you would do for long term and to set up hundreds of libraries now?
No, at that time I didn't imagine that it would be this big, and I didn't even imagine that I would quit my corporate career and dedicate my life for this. But you know, like, life works in a mysterious way. Building one library, it made me want to build more, and like every month in the first year, every month I built like new library. So after 1 year I had like 12 libraries, and then now almost 10 years down the road I have more than 100 libraries. So yeah, it also changed my life very, very much. Yeah.
So let's talk about this libraries that you built. Did you know where to go, or what are the areas do you look at before thinking, okay, this is where I want to make a difference, I want to set up a library for kids?
So I know that eastern part of Indonesia has the most limited infrastructure, and then when it comes to literacy, the kids have the lowest reading skills in the country. So that's why Taman Bacaan Pelangi focuses on eastern part of Indonesia. So every time we wanted to build a new library, we would go to the district and have meetings with the head of education, have a meeting with the head of education department in the district and get the list of schools. And our team would go to these schools to do survey and have meetings with the school principals, teachers, and parents. So after that, we select the schools and then we started building libraries for them.
Just give us a sense, help us understand, like, what kind of quality of education are these kids receiving in this remote part of areas that you're focusing on?
Okay, so when it comes to quality of education, you cannot really compare the quality of education in big cities and in remote areas. Like, they're lacking of teachers, and then also teachers don't really get adequate workshops or training. So that's why Taman Bacaan Pelangi focuses also on training teachers so that they get the skills that they needed to teach kids how to read. So after they know, then we also provided with access to books with like nice looking libraries with thousands of books.
To get kids excited.
Yes, to get kids excited and also to get kids have the habit of reading. And we also advocate for a dedicated reading time to be embedded into school curriculum. So that's why it makes our program sustainable.
Okay, I will get more into sustainability. Yeah. But seeing that you go in and you work with head of education departments mm-hmm. and a lot of officials.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges when you go in and wanting to set up a library and wanting to make this a sustainable long-term thing instead of just one-off here are the books and that's it. You know, what are the challenges that you face?
The challenges that we face at Taman Bacaan Pelangi and our team is that it's hard to change teachers' mindset. Yeah. Like a lot of teachers have been teaching for like 20 years or 25 years. So to introduce them the new methods in teaching in basic literacy is kind of like challenging because they've been like already doing that in certain ways. So make them, hey, you could do this instead of this one. So sometimes they're reluctant, but it's one of the challenges that we have to face. We just have to train them and then like monitor and like have to accompany them. Like even for our Fight for Illiteracy program, we have our team sit in the class of Bahasa Indonesia, and make sure that the teacher use the lesson plans that we give, to make them, you know, like used to the new lesson plans.
How big is your team?
We're small. We're only the team of 12. Yeah.
Senang, karena dulu tuh buku-buku masih sedikit. Baru dulu tuh orang belum cat. Belum ada karpet untuk peletehel. Rak bukunya masih satu saja. Kalau sekarang agak banyak, kalau buku-buku tambah baru, buku-buku baru. Sama senang. Buku-buku banyak juga terus sudah ada meja. Cat baru, dok cat. Kalau saya minta tuh kasih buku-buku tambah banyak lagi supaya ada buku-buku baru lagi.
Now, one of the key challenges to running a non-profit is certainly sustainability,
also,
right?
Sustainability
in terms of finding perhaps talent, resources, funding, and things like that. So for you, how do you ensure that this is something that could be continued for a long time?
Yeah, so in terms of funding, that is why I set up a travel enterprise, a social enterprise in travel named Travel Sparks. So basically what Travel Sparks does is we provide customized trips, holiday to Labuan Bajo, Komodo, Raja Ampat, Sumba Island. But in the itinerary, clients will volunteer at our libraries and the profit goes to support Taman Bacaan Pelangi. This is an idea so that we don't depend 100% on donation. There is a business line that supports its sustainability. So that's one of the ways to make it sustainable.
What is that business model? All the profits go into Taman Bacaan?
Yes.
And how does that work? How do you intend to grow it? And what's your aspirations for that?
So the profit goes to support Taman Bacaan Pelangi. We intend to grow it by expanding the market. Like most of our clients now are Europeans, so we intend to expand the market to other countries as well, promote it in other countries.
And which are the areas that Travel Sparks focus on?
Eastern Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Even though we focus on Eastern Indonesia, sometimes when tourists come to Indonesia, they spend like a month of holiday, and then we would ask them, because it's a customized trips, so we would ask them like, what are your interests? Like, for example, if they're interested in culture, then we would also take them to Yogyakarta for a few days. Of course, like people want to go to Bali, so we still put that in our itinerary if they requested it. However, like our specialized in is in Eastern Indonesia.
And the travel plus volunteering mm-hmm. in the community at the same time. That is the idea, right?
Yes. So the idea of Travel Sparks is travel with a cause. So while you're traveling, you're also making a difference in the lives of the society. And everyone involved in Travel Sparks are local people. So I don't invest in boats or cars. That's not the idea of Travel Sparks. So even the tour guides, they're all locals. The boat owners are locals. The drivers are local people because I want to help them. I want them to make more money mm-hmm. so that they can send their kids to schools, have, you know, like the capability to buy stationeries so that, you know, like their standard of living improved.
And I guess it's also a two-way street because when the tourists come, they get to enjoy the beautiful nature and people of Indonesia. At the same time, the kids or the community that they work with learn something from the visitors as well.
Yes, exactly. And then like the visitors, for example, Cynthia, when you go and using Travel Spark services, I would ask you to share about your profession as a TV host to the kids. It will inspire the kids because like maybe they've never seen a TV host before, and then you get to share that you're from Malaysia, what's in Malaysia, what kind of culture that you have, and then like your profession as a TV host, like what do you do. This kind of thing will inspire them and, you know, like make them have new ideas of professions. Because I remember every time I opened a new library, I asked the kids like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. And most of the answers were only two: teacher or a priest.
But that's because that's what they know.
Yeah. But after meeting people and also after reading the books at our libraries, I asked them again, like several months down the road, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the answers were various. Like, I want to be pilot. I want to be astronaut, you know, things like that. So that kind of inspirations are very much needed.
Now, speaking of inspiration, I understand you used to travel a lot, and you probably still do. And how does that inspire you to start this initiative? Because, you know, running a nonprofit is not an easy business, and you have a social enterprise. You have a family as well, and you're based in Jakarta, and you're always traveling back and forth. So what keeps you going? What keeps you motivated?
What keeps me going is, first, what keeps me traveling is because I love it so much, and from traveling I get a lot of life inspirations mm-hmm. and travel also gives my me time. I love solo traveling. It's kind of like self-reflection time for me and mm-hmm. I get new ideas when I travel. And then what keeps me going and doing and running Taman Bacaan Pelangi is the sparks in the kids' eyes. So seeing the sparks in their eyes as they flip through the books, and then they chatted with their friends talking about the books that they read, like, hey, what are you reading? Oh, it's about dinosaur. And, you know, like the sparks, it really, you know, like makes me, oh my God, I have to do this. I shouldn't stop. Yeah.
Of course, no, the thought of living a financial security and a career is very frightening for most people. But you made the leap, you took that jump, and you started something completely new and different. What went through your mind when you did that? Was it a difficult decision?
It was difficult, yes. It was difficult. But I remember sitting in my room when I was still working in corporation, and I thought, like, looking at skyscrapers in Jakarta, I thought, what the hell am I doing here? I already have Taman Bacaan Pelangi, right? Mm. Like, I thought, like, if I use my time to grow Taman Bacaan Pelangi, maybe I would make a bigger impact. Mm. I would reach more lives. I would give access to more kids. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should try quitting say goodbye to my corporate career and dedicate my time to grow my own NGO. And so that's what I did. In the first years, it was tough because like I was so used to having, you know, like big salary, right?
Comforts,
and suddenly, yeah. Comforts. I didn't get paid for 6 years when I started Taman Bacaan Pelangi.
So how did you sustain yourself? Like,
so first 6 years, 3 years I still worked in corporation, but when I decided to quit, I already had some savings in my bank account. So I calculated, okay, I'll be fine from not working 3 years. Mm-hmm. Then I started Travel Sparks, and then like I still did some consultancy PR work on the side. So that's how I sustained myself. but I had no regret. Yeah, I wouldn't, at the moment, like, I wouldn't want to go back to work in corporation because I just want to do Taman Bacaan Pelangi every day. And because I know that every day I'm making a difference.
And how do you measure the impact? I guess if you're a corporation, then you measure it based on ROI, profits, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for you, your non-profit, how do you do that? How?
Okay, so we have our own formula in terms of sustainability and impact assessment. We ask questions to the teachers and also parents, and also we in our libraries we have logbook, like number of books being checked out by the kids. Mm-hmm. So we monitor all that.
Do you have a target in terms of what you want to achieve? How many libraries do you want to build?
I want to build as many libraries as I can because Indonesia is very big and there are like just so many remote areas, and millions of kids didn't have any access to books. So I want to reach those at least 1 million kids.
1 million kids.
Yes.
Where do these books come from? Is it from a corporate companies, or how do you find sponsors to provide these books?
Okay, so the funding comes from corporations. There's corporate social responsibility funds and also grants, mm-hmm. also from partnership with international NGOs, and some philanthropists also sponsored some of our libraries. And with the money that they gave us, we buy books directly from the publishers with discounted price, of course. And also, like, some people also donate books, but from books donation from people, we really have to handpick the books because not all children's mm-hmm. books are suitable, right? So yeah, for books donation, it's just like an adding collection to the thousands of books that our libraries already have.
So the library is just the first step, and then you mentioned that you conduct training
for teachers.
Yeah. And so what is the long-term plan for both your enterprises, the nonprofit and the and Travel Sparks? Because running a social enterprise, starting from a one-man show, a one-woman show must be completely exhausting. And now that it's growing, where do you see it in, say, a couple of years' time? Do you want to reach out to more people in other parts of Indonesia? What's the plan?
Yeah, once we cover all Eastern Indonesia, hopefully we could go to other parts of Indonesia as well. And then, like, we want to also train more teachers because training teachers is very crucial as well. Yeah, in improving literacy and quality education in our country.
Mm-hmm. And do you work with the government, for example, in terms of reaching out to these teachers and changing perhaps modules of ways of teaching?
Yes, we always work with the local government, with the education departments in every district, because every time we want to train teachers, we have to get their blessings, of course, right? So we work closely together with them.
What do you think, as a social entrepreneur, the barriers to making a bigger impact? You can talk about Indonesia because every country has different barriers. But what about yourself personally?
Okay, for Taman Bacaan Pelangi, one of the barriers is of course like funding and also the distance, because mm-hmm. we always choose some of the most remote areas. Like a lot of donors ask me, like, hey Nila, why do you choose to build library in Puncak Jaya Wijaya Mountain in Papua? Like, why not just like closed.
The sweater needed most.
Yes, they said that it costs more. And I'm like, yeah, of course it costs more. But if everyone thinks of an easier way just to build, you know, like to help the ones nearby in Java Island, then what about the kids who live in those remote areas? It's not fair, like they're not asked to be born in those remote islands, right? So it's not fair for them. They're Indonesian kids, they have the same rights. They have the same rights to have access to education, to quality education. So it's our job to help them. We're so privileged, like we're so lucky we can have higher education and we're born in big cities. But these kids, they're not so lucky, so it's our job to help them.
Now as a mother, you have a young family, young child, and running all this, how do you balance it all? How do you ensure that you get to achieve the goals and the dreams that you has intended to set up or set out to do?
Yeah, time management is always challenging. I travel a lot and I had to say goodbye to my daughter a lot. Like, and then my daughter sometimes asks like, oh, you're gonna live again? How long this time? I mean, oh, only 1 week. Oh, that's too long. No, 1 week is actually okay. So sometimes like 2 weeks. But I think that's one of my challenges that I just have to do it. A lot of times I take her, especially during inauguration of library. So she knows whenever I go, like she knows that I'll be going to Eastern Indonesia to visit libraries. And the reason why I take her along, because I want her to have empathy, and then and also in the library she loves books, so I can just like leave her alone. And also like traveling also teaches her a lot of values in life, like tolerance and stuff like that. So I take her most of the time.
Yes, I seen your blog. I think you have some blog posts on you and your daughter traveling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So even when you're busy running the organization, do you have, for example, like a succession plan in mind on how the organization can grow, how big you want it to be?
Yeah, we have like we have short-term plan and then long-term plan. And at the moment, we're cooking some ideas on digital libraries for those remote areas. But this is still like in the process. I cannot really say it right now because it's still in the process, like how can we use technology in those areas that have no electricity, no phone signal, but there are ways, and we're cooking something. And the reason why we do it, because I'm curious whether technology can really improve their love of reading or not. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet, so we want to try it out.
Which is something I had wanted to ask, because in Malaysia we have remote parts as well, for example in the Borneo side, similar to Indonesia. And we have all these thoughts about using technology to help kids, but sometimes the basic necessities like access to water, clean water, access to internet is something else altogether. So, you know, how do you want to bridge that gap, you know, when it comes to using technology? I know this is something in part of your plan, but you know, in your thoughts, you know, how do you go around it?
Yeah, I think we can try it out. I love doing pilot projects, so this will be one of the pilots that we're gonna run soon. I think we just have to try it out, because like years from now, technology will be there, and like maybe hopefully all the areas will be covered by internet signal. And once they have that, like I want the kids to be all ready, you know, like so that it kind of like shortened the gap between the urban and the remote areas. Yeah.
Okay. So just one final question about what's your philosophy in life? What I asked, what motivated you earlier, but what is how do you go about approaching life?
My thoughts of life, I think life is short. We don't know until when we're gonna live. So make the most out of it and make your life meaningful. Try to make a difference. Making a difference can be in many different ways. So try to find what are the things that you're passionate about. If you see any social issues in front of your eyes, try to think, how can you help? Feeling sorry or crying, seeing someone helpless will not change anything, but action. Action is the one that can make a difference.
And in your case, leaving a library behind everywhere you go. Well, thank you so much, Nila, for your time. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Cynthia, for having me.